Stage Dramas present The Phantom Driver. This week's front page drama, The Phantom Driver, is an original radio drama based upon a very timely and educational article to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, under the title, Cracking Down on Drivers Who Get Hopped Up. This is but one of the many worthwhile stories, articles, and other excellent features that make up every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Although the drunken driver, because of his superiority of numbers, is the greatest menace to safety on the highways, the most dangerous and sadistic driver of an automobile is the drug addict. Because of the many fatalities caused by these drug-crazed drivers, the Federal Bureau of Narcotics is cooperating very closely with the various state highway police and safety commissions to drive this deadly menace from our highways. The campaign is showing excellent results, and the lives of many innocent persons have been saved. From the facts and findings recently published by one of the large eastern states, we have developed the following story. Our scene opens in the office of a state police barrack. Captain Gifford has just received a detailed report of a very serious highway accident and is discussing the report with a sergeant in his command.
There's no need for me to tell you, Roberts, that this is very serious. Unless you show some better results in clearing it up, I'm going to have to take you off the case.
Yes, sir.
That'll mean demoting you at the same time.
I know, sir.
All three of the accidents have occurred within 10 miles of these barracks and well within the area assigned to you and your men to patrol. The papers have been playing up the sensational side of this case, calling it the Phantom Driver Mystery. Now the politicians at the Capitol are beginning to yell for an investigation of the state police. Now then, what have you got to say for yourself?
I haven't had my clothes off for 48 hours. I've combed every garage, stable, and barn in the country looking for the only clue to that last accident given me by the driver, a long, powerful black car. I burned up the radio, telephone, and teletype immediately after that last accident, trying to trap the runaway car, but it disappeared as quickly as it came out of the darkness and wrecked that poor fellow and his family.
Well, I realize you're doing your best, Sergeant Roberts. And I know you've got little, if anything, in the way of a clue to work on. But nevertheless, we've got to have some definite word for the big boys down at the state capitol.
Yes, sir.
I'm here to help you all I can.
Thanks, sir.
Suppose you review all the facts you have on the case today.
Okay, Cap. Friday night, June 13th, on Route 25, on the curve of the hill leading into Edwardsville. Time, 10:45. Black Buick sedan, model 1937, license K7705. Owner, driver, James Oliver of Martinsburg. There's very little traffic, and Oliver was traveling about 45 miles an hour eastward into Edwardsville when suddenly a car appeared racing towards him with a spotlight and two powerful headlights on full. Oliver, blinded by the powerful lights, swerved off the road to avoid a collision and lost control. His car went over the 12-foot embankment, turned over, and landed on its side. Mrs. Oliver and daughter severely injured. Oliver, one rib broken, badly bruised, and suffered superficial cuts from glass. No witnesses. The other car drove away without stopping. Wrecked car and occupants found by Gustav Wemble, laborer, 19 Elm Street, Edwardsville. Notified local police, reported to me. Oliver said he didn't have a chance to see the car, couldn't offer any details. Mrs. Oliver died en route to hospital. Daughter Alice Clare succumbed to injuries during the night at Lutheran Hospital at Edwardsville.
There wasn't the slightest clue as to the identity of the hit-and-run car.
No, sir.
How about the people and local police authorities in Edwardsville? Car must have passed through there.
Didn't remember anything. Said if the car did pass through town, it must have been complying with all traffic laws and passed through unnoticed. We used the radio and teletype to warn authorities up and down Route 25 to be on the lookout for a speeding car. Nothing developed.
Now, how about the accident the following Friday midnight on the turn near Maple City? A colored man and woman were killed and the driver badly hurt.
Just change the time and location and names and it's the same story. The crime committed in exactly the same manner and with the same answer.
But thinking it more than a coincidence, you redouble your efforts to trace the car and driver and put on extra patrolling runs.
Right, sir.
But nothing... A Friday again.
Yes. And drove his crossing between Edwardsville and Maple Center just past the turn going into the slight grade.
Yeah.
Exactly the same set of circumstances. Thank heaven no one was killed and only one person badly hurt.
But you didn't get a description of the car, did you?
You can call a long, powerful black car a description.
No other witnesses, no other clues.
Not the slightest. All I've got to go on is that all three accidents happened within a maximum distance of 20 miles on the same highway. All of them took place on Friday, within an hour and a quarter of midnight. From the driver's report to the accident, the attacking driver is either a lunatic or a drunk.
Or perhaps a dope fiend, a cokehead, or a marijuana smoker.
Yeah, but it doesn't help much. Because of the fairly close proximity of the accident, criminal attack might be a better description. I figured that the person operating that phantom car must live around here.
Now, that's a good supposition. So what?
So, there's nobody within a radius of 50 miles who is a drunk of that type, or anyone who is a dangerous or violent lunatic type, or a man, woman, or youngster addicted to dope. So what?
Well, suppose we dwell on the long, black, powerful car theory. Does anyone around here own cars like that?
Why, certainly. State Senator Tom Hartman has two.
Well,
his wife drives one, he drives the other.
That's out. Who else?
Well, Mr. Carlton Neely at the Pines, he has three. One new Cadillac sedan, an Oldsmobile 8 Club sedan, and a package Ford Roadster. Again, so on.
He's big business to socialize.
Yes, plenty of influence. I know. But despite that, I checked him. Nothing doing there. So now, what do the big boys on Capitol Hill suggest?
I'll take it easy, Sergeant. How about the chauffeurs?
Senator Hartman's colored boy was with the senator in the Capitol during every one of the nights the smash-ups occurred. Mr. Neely's Filipino had driven Mrs. Neely to White Sulphur Springs. It's still there.
And you say you've checked all the driver's licenses of all the other car owners in this vicinity, also the cars?
Positively. Everything clean. Nothing against any of them.
Well, it looks as though you've done everything humanly possible. You're up against a blank wall.
Acting on your theory that maybe there was a dope fiend mixed up in this somewhere, I made a full report of the whole affair to the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. They're checking on it now.
That's a very good move, Sergeant. Now, what about next Friday? Do you think this phantom driver is going to do another job?
Well, he's done it 3 Fridays in succession so far. And I'm taking no chances on him getting away with another one.
No.
I think I'm fully prepared. First, all my boys will be on duty Friday night. Oh, but I'll need 12 additional troopers from you, if I may, sir.
That's all right.
In 6 radio cars. They will be assigned to every curve and the approach to the hills and grades.
I see.
The sheriff is supplying a dozen deputies to patrol the main county roads leading into Route 25. Next, the local police have assigned a plainclothes officer or special deputy to work around every filling station.
Yeah.
Now, they'll have access to the telephone. And the switchboards in Edwardsville, Maple City, and Martinsburg will keep the lines open, ready to relay any message here, and Joe Schramm will radio the information immediately to all cars.
Well, you're certainly well prepared. And if nothing turns up before then, and this phantom driver goes to work this Friday, you can't miss catching him.
As soon as darkness set in on the following Friday, Sergeant Roberts set his defense machinery in motion. Quickly and quietly, the state police, sheriff's deputies, and local police patrols took up their places. The hours ticked away monotonously. Then, shortly before 10 o'clock, the telephone bell in Sergeant Roberts' office rang ominously.
State Police, Barrack Station 5, Sergeant Roberts speaking.
This is Inspector McCann of the Federal Narcotics Bureau. One of my operators picked Tony Carfini up this evening. He's a drug peddler and had a few packs of drugs on him.
Yes?
But in his book, he had the name of a man whom you'd lifted in that phantom driver case.
Yes?
Mr. Carlton Neely. Carfine denies selling him or making any deliveries. But you'd better check Neely at once.
Don't worry, I will. It's getting close to the deadline when these accidents occurred. Oh, thanks for the information. I'll give you a full report in the morning. I've got to get going. Good night, Inspector.
What is it, Sergeant Tipoff?
And how? Come on, Reynolds. There isn't a moment to lose. We've got to hurry over to the Neely place. Tram, get on the radio. Send out a warning to the men to be on the lookout for Neely's car, either the big black Cadillac or the long blue Packard Roadster. Tell Woodman to block the road leading from the Neely place out to Highway 25. We'll be there in 10 minutes. Okay, Reynolds. Keep going. We'll soon be there. Woodman should be on the lookout for us.
What's the next move after we get there, Sarge?
If Neely hasn't come out, we're going to turn out all the lights and wait for him. Then if he does drive out, we're going to follow him, and if he makes one bad move or attempts to get away, we'll let him have it. But I want to catch him in the act, if possible.
Well, we're almost there, Sarge. There's someone out in the road.
Okay, slow down, Reynolds. And when you stop, cut off the lights, but keep the motor running.
That you, Sergeant?
Yes.
Now, this is Woodman.
Okay, Woodman. Any sign of Neely?
Not yet, Sergeant. We know he's home. One of the boys saw him moving around in his living room. A little while ago, he left the house and went to the garage. Since then, we've been waiting for him.
Okay, Woodman. Have you got a car here?
I'll say we have. We got the sheriff's Chrysler, the fast
good.
Parked just off the highway on the road going down to Neely's place.
All right, good. Move it out on this side of the highway beyond the Neely road.
Right, sir.
Don't put your lights on, but keep the motor running and wait. Now then, if Neely comes out and turns left, start after him. But don't get between him and the embankment.
Uh-huh.
Then keep up with him, and we'll follow behind you. Now, if he comes our way, we'll go abreast of him, and you follow us. If he makes any fast move, let him have it.
Okay, Sergeant. I'll attend to it at once.
Right. Reynolds, move our car over off the highway and face west.
Okay, Sergeant.
Yes?
One of the boys just reported. Neely's got his car out of the garage, and he's coming up the road with his lights out.
Okay. Back to your car quickly. Be ready for anything.
Right away, Sergeant.
I'm coming in, Reynolds. Keep your eye on that road and be ready when Neely comes out of there.
Hey, Sergeant. Yeah? Look up there at the top of the hill. There's another car coming.
That's all right. A good half mile away. Neely comes out and tries to head for that car. We'll cut him off.
Listen, Sergeant. He's coming.
There he goes. Headed up the hill. All right, follow him. Give me the gun. Okay, Whitman is following. Keep level with Neely. That's it. Now then, I'll turn the lights on him. All right, you folks. Anyone hurt in this car?
No, just badly scared, that's all.
What's the tarnation kind of games you halfwits playing on the public highway?
Hush up, Sarah. They're police officers.
Yes, ma'am. And if we hadn't been here, you might not have been here either.
Oh, Mandy Goshen. Don't mean to tell me that fella you were chasing was a tandem driver.
You see, Sarah, I told you it was dangerous to travel.
Well, you can go ahead and travel now, ladies. We've got the phantom driver. We forced him off the road and into a ditch. And when we get him out of the hospital, we'll put him away where he won't do any more harm.
And so, through the resourcefulness of a state police officer and the cooperation of the Federal Narcotics Bureau, the state businessman, Carson Neely, who through the use of drugs became a modern Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, was arrested, sentenced, and removed to a place of safety. You have just heard the front page drama, The Phantom Driver, an original radio drama based upon a very timely and educational article to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, under the title, Cracking Down on Drivers Who Get Hopped Up. This is but one of the many worthwhile stories, articles, and other excellent features that make up every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Dramas present The Fugitive Fortune. This week's front page drama, The Fugitive Fortune, is an original radio.